This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs, joined by Lim Soo Ann and T. Xiao Yik in the studio. So earlier we were talking about, well, a little bit about Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. We gave you a bit of a history on how Valentine's Day came to be. And we also spoke to singer-songwriter Bijou about her latest single, I Am Enough, which is about, you know, self-love and, yeah, mm-hmm. you know, some self-affirmation going on there. So now in our second story, we're looking at car seats again.
So we have a Twitter poll going, and since the law on mandatory child safety seats has come into force since January this year, you know, we were asking you if you see people using child safety seats mm-hmm. in cars. So right now, 58% says no, you don't see people using these child safety seats, and 42% say yes, you do. So if you have any thoughts you want to share, any experiences, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yeah, so the topic of child safety seats came up again this week because just on Monday, many of us would have seen the news reports and more terrifyingly, the video that came with mm-hmm. it of a two-year-old boy who was flung out of a car driven by his father when they were traveling on the North-South Highway. And this was near Senawang, Negeri Sembilan. And you know, the video shows the boy landing on the fast lane of the highway with, you know, vehicles whizzing past at high speed just a few feet away from him. So what had happened was the father had been driving on the right lane, the fast lane of the expressway, when he spotted a Honda Jazz flashing his lights on high beam in his rearview mirror with a Myvi trailing closely behind the Jazz. So, you know, the father said that he was about to change lanes when the Myvi suddenly came from the left side and cut in front of him and hit the left rear side of his car. And so the impact of that collision caused the father's car to hit the road divider. And unfortunately, that's when the toddler was flung out the front window off the passenger seat.
Just bad drivers everywhere.
So many problems there.
So anyway, the incident was recorded on the dashboard camera of a car that had been traveling behind the three vehicles, and the video has been shared widely on social media. And the most terrifying part of the video is when the Honda Jazz switches lane and speeds off, and suddenly you see the little boy lying on the fast lane. You know, it's terrifying, and it's a wonder the car with the dash cam was able to stop in time. I'm sure he saw these morons behaving badly and was already slowing down in anticipation.
You want to keep a safe distance between these cars that were already driving recklessly.
When you see idiots behaving like that, yes.
Yeah. And, well, there is a happy ending, if you can call it that, is which was when the lorry a lorry drew up alongside this car, and then the driver quickly ran out to save the boy, and no one else was luckily harmed. So the child did suffer minor external injuries, but is said to be in a stable condition. But it's in those few seconds that, you know, when all this took place, right, things could have gone so terribly wrong.
It really could have,
yeah. And that's why the first step that we can take towards ensuring our children's safety is when we use child safety seats or even child restraint system.
So joining us on the line is Shanette Tan from Child Passenger Safety Malaysia, and that's a group of individuals who've actually come together to advocate for the use of child safety seats. Shanette, can you reiterate the importance of using these car seats for children?
From our data and statistics in Malaysia, road crashes is very high, and the involvement of children is also at a very high level. So in order to curb that, one of it is to actually use a safety seat. We have a lot of data from overseas as well as lately, in the last few years. I think our Malaysian Road Safety Council, as well as the police and traffic and stuff, we have collected our data as well. And data and statistics have shown that if you use a safety seat for a child below the 12-month age, you will increase their chances of survival by 90%. And if you use past that age, that means like beyond 12 months, up to 12 years old, you can have a chance of reducing death for 54% or even reducing severe injuries up to about 80%. So the point is this, using a safety seat doesn't stop you from being involved in a crash or an accident, but when you do get into one, it actually increases your chance of survival, increases your chance of recovering from it fully. On the adverse effect, if you don't use it, the chances of you dying or even having like severe injuries up to being paralyzed is high. So that's the idea. A lot of people think that even if I use, I'm going to be involved in a crash. Well, yes, because a lot of other factors come into play. But if you do use it, your chance of survival is higher. It could even be reducing your hospitalization or medical costs involved in one.
So with the new law coming into force this year, what do you think will be the impact when it comes to improving child passenger safety?
I think with our latest regulation in place, the minimum requirement is 12 years and below, and the height of 135 centimeters, they need to use a child restraint system in a private vehicle. We have been advocating for a very long time. We started in 2015, and we have seen a steady increase in awareness and people asking about safety seats. I think with the implementation of the law, it's good to give the final push, especially for those who are sitting on the fence. So they're like, they know, but they're kind of like feeling that, well, since it's not enforced and perhaps I can get away with it. So with the law in place, they were like, okay, it's finally time to buy it.
So what kind of arguments do you hear against the use for safety seats?
There is a lot of ways to look at the argument, but I think it all stems from the lack of understanding and the lack of awareness that we have on safety. Because Malaysia as a whole, we are actually very safe in a sense, and then our awareness on anything regards to safety, whether it's water, fire, road safety, is very low. So it's not about an education. It's also not about the age group. Sometimes it's just that we are not exposed to it. So whenever we tell parents that you need to use it, even with the affordable ones or with the educated ones, they will say that, I don't use to use it when I was a child, so why is there a need? So because of the lack of understanding, the lack of awareness in terms of road safety, on how fast cars are, how dangerous there are other drivers on the road, that you need to be prepared.
So there's a common belief that if you're just driving on inner roads or if you're driving short distances, you don't need to put your child in the safety seat. You know, how can you address that?
That is a very huge misconception, not only here in Malaysia, it's also very rampant everywhere else. They have the idea that I'm just going across the street, I'm just going somewhere nearby. It's very safe because we are in a very familiar environment. And what happens when we are in a familiar environment, we let our guards down. So we are not very aware of a lot of things that's happening because we are familiar, you know, so our guards are lower. And in a way, we drive more recklessly in the housing area. You'll see people driving without the helmet, they won't wear their seatbelts. You have children jumping on the seats, the window winds down because I'm just going across the street. Statistics have also shown crashes happen more often in housing area within 5 kilometers of your house compared to on the highway. Of course, they always see only the highway deaths, because when you crash or involve in a crash or accident at higher speed, the death rate goes up. But if you talk about frequency in crashes, actually around the neighborhood, 5 kilometers from your house is the most rampant one. You have one bump every other day. And in Malaysia, we have almost at least about 100 minor crashes every day.
So can you share some tips for parents who want to know how they can choose the best safety seat for their child?
The best seat for your child is the one that fits your child in terms of age, weight and height, and the one that you can install in the car. So before they go car seat shopping, what they should do is they should actually get the information of their child first. Information like, okay, so how old are they now in terms of age and months? How tall are they and what's their weight? It's good if you can refer back to the little pink book on growth development for younger kids so that you know which percentile they are at. If they are at a higher percentile, it will give you an idea that probably they will outgrow this seat, which is supposed to be used until 6 earlier. So instead of using it until 6 years old, maybe they will outgrow it at 3. Knowing that, then you look for a higher weight limit seat. So once you know your child, the next thing is to look into your car first. So you can physically look at it, like what fixture it has, whether it has the ISOFIX anchors, it has the top tether, you know, whether it has all seat belts, like the lap shoulder ones or just the lap belt. Once you identify that, then you look at your budget. How much are you willing to spend for your child's safety? You know, put a cap on it, and then you go shopping. or you can go do your online research and see what's available within that range, then you go your shopping.
So how much should one spend on a safety seat?
Well, actually, it depends on you. It's just, for me, it's more like a car, right? So a car gets you from point A to point B. So if you buy a Myvi, it works as well as if you have a Volvo or a BMW, right? But what goes in the price difference is all the extra features that goes into extra safety features that goes into it. So how much are you willing to spend for it? There are a lot of parents that's willing to pay 4,000 ringgit for an iPhone, but they find that a 3 ringgit seat for their child is expensive, no? So the entry range, the entry price range would be, I would say, about 300 ringgit. You can get a safety-approved seat for a child, and you can easily use it for at least 6 years on a normal percentile, as I said. So that will come up to, what, 50 ringgit a year? I would say it's quite affordable. But, well, if you have a little bit more to spend and you feel that, well, you know, I want to splurge, there's something as expensive as a 4,000, 5,000 ringgit seat. But for me, it's that there are some parents who spent an amount for a safety seat, and they, after 6 years or when the seat retire or the child doesn't need it anymore, they will say that it's a waste of money because in these 6 years that I've used it, I've never been in a crash. So the idea is that, look at it as an insurance. Thank God and be grateful that you're not involved in one and the seat has served its purpose.
Well, on another note, if you've ever bought a safety seat, one thing that you're sure to have struggled with is, you know, reading the instruction manual on how to install it. So how do parents know whether they are installing it correctly?
Installation instructions usually come with the manual of the seat. So I understand that even when I started like more than 10 years ago, it's very complicated to look at because you don't understand the intricacy of where the belt goes, where the anchors go. So my advice is that with the advancement of technology today compared to me 10 years ago, is we have a lot of YouTube, Facebook groups. We have a lot of consumer groups even. So ask about installation. Do a little reading because sometimes when they tell you, okay, the seat can be installed with a lap shoulder belt, but there's always additional information but if it is in front of an airbag, it is in front of this criteria, you can't install it. We also have parents that just put the seat there and not strapped in as well.
And, you know, the safety seats in the market today are labelled with so many different safety standards. There's the EU regulations, the Australian standards, even the US standards. So which one should we follow?
Well, all the safety standards, they have their own criteria or requirements. Malaysia is adopting UNECE, so it's the European standards that we're following. But right now, whatever that you have that's suitable for you, you can actually purchase it. Look at it this way. We are following the UN standards, but it's not illegal to use others. So find one that fits your child and can be installed in your car. Do not just buy a seat because of the brand, the standards, and it doesn't fit in the car. That is also why a lot of parents are concerned. They say, oh, we're going to follow this standard, so this standard I can't use. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of you using it to protect your child and you using it right to increase the protection.
So that was Shanette Tan from advocacy group Child Passenger Safety Malaysia, and she was reiterating the importance of using child restraint systems and also sharing quite a lot of comprehensive and very practical tips for parents.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, just a reminder, from the beginning of this year, the law on the mandatory use of child safety seats came into force. However, there is a grace period for the first 6 months of the year where drivers will not be penalised for not putting their children in safety seats. But, you know, that shouldn't be an excuse.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the law actually requires kids who weigh under 25 kilos to be placed in a child's seat. So this would be group 0 plus, group 1, group 2, fitted in a rear facing position for as long a period as possible. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, kids under 36 kgs have to be secured with a seat belt together with either a booster seat or a booster cushion, which is considered group 3. And remember that weight is actually a more accurate measure than the age of your child.
And it's important to use the safety seats correctly. You know, as Shanette says, there are even people who just place the restraint system on the car seat without securing them. Boggles the mind. But some other tips, you know, you can secure the safety seat in the back and not at the front, so that's you know, so that it's away from the front airbags. And never ever hold your child on your lap when sitting in front, or even worse, when you're driving.
And, you know, if cost is a concern for you, Transport Minister Anthony Look has already reassured Malaysians that there will be no import duty for the safety seats, while the excise fee has been slashed from 10% to 5%. And these will really help a lot to make them more affordable for families.
And, you know, and because we were talking about child safety seats, we were asking you, the listeners over on the Twitter poll, over on Twitter, we were asking you if you see people using these child safety seats in their cars. 59% of you say no, you don't see people using them. But there is still 40% of you who say that you do. And we've received a few comments as well. Leonard says that implementation of the law on car seats is unlikely to herald the desired effects unless there is stringent enforcement. You know, he compares it to how cars still try to mow down pedestrians at zebra crossings instead of allowing them to cross.
I concur with you, Leonard. I feel
you. You see that all the time.
Enforcement is always a problem in Malaysia, isn't it? And whenever we think we can get away with circumventing the law, we will.
Yeah. And we also have other comments. Chris Chua saying that TVs and videos such as cartoons can be used to sort of enforce the importance, to impart information on the importance of using seatbelts to children. We have another here from Cash saying that I've seen a lot of people using a child as an airbag. So what he means is putting a child on the driver's lap while driving. So authorities should take action against these people. And you know, he also says that, you know, to take pictures and share on social media so that it reaches the authorities.
Yes, I've been very tempted to shame people that I see, you know, like, you know, when you see a driver holding their child and driving and smoking at the same time, I really didn't know what to do. I was like, I want to take a photo and do something bad.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder, though, whether if we do take a photo and send it to the police, is that enough cause for the police to take action?
We need to find out.
Yes, we do.
I think that's another part that it would be good to have more information as well, right? I haven't seen that. Like, how would you go about reporting people who are not following the law? But I guess maybe that's something that we'll have more information about when, you know, when the law actually is fully enforced instead of being under this grace period.
Yeah. But I don't, I mean, you know, we see for ourselves that there's no right time, is it? Isn't it to install a car seat and to use it for your children? Because you can't wait until you're in an accident. Obviously, you can't wait, and it's just you just have to make that decision and do it. You know, do it this weekend. You know, check out your car seat. I mean, check out your car's specifications. Look at your child's weight and height, and go and get one.
Yeah.
I mean, the argument has always been, either, as Jeanette mentioned, I grew up without a car seat.
Yes, I was fine.
Yes. I mean, we all did. We all grew up not using car seats because it wasn't commonplace then, but traffic conditions were also very different back then.
That's
right. I mean, you have an interesting story, Suen.
My mom told me that apparently when I was much younger, so I did have a car seat, I think older, maybe kindergarten age around there, but earlier, I remember my mom was telling me that apparently she used to use a rattan basket in the back seat, sort of like squeezed in her back seat.
That's adorable.
But I mean, that was when she was sort of going from our house to my grandmother's house, which is just a few, like, sort of across the neighborhood. But then, like you said, Chiawi, the road conditions were very different then. You didn't have as many cars, it wasn't as busy, whereas nowadays, even, you know, the street in front of my house, I can see just cars racing past.
Some of my lunatic neighbors, you know, just going around the corner at high speed, and I'm like, where are you going at that speed? Calm down. There are children around, there are elderly around,
exactly,
people playing and exercising in the neighborhood. Yeah.
And there's so many other unsafe practices. So we can say that we try to drive as carefully as possible.
Exactly.
But we can't safeguard against other drivers. And so like the case we described earlier was really the catalyst was those illegal races on the highway. You know, so I mean, there are lots of other really unsafe practices that I've seen before. I mean, one of it comes to mind is letting children stick their heads out the window, or what is it called?
The sunroof.
That's right. So dangerous.
Especially on highways when your car is going at high speed, or even if your car isn't, other people are. And it's just, you know, if anything happens, if you happen to suddenly brake, your child can easily be flung forward.
Yep. It's all fun and games until someone gets hurt, as they say.
Yes. Well, yeah, no.
Anyway, and you know, even the cost, it is an investment as far as I'm concerned. It's very expensive. I remember paying like close to 2,000 ringgit for my child's car seat. Mm-hmm. But, you know, spread over all those years and you know that she's safe and secure in there as much as possible, right? You can't, mm-hmm. you can't stop everything from happening, but that's just the best option you have. Why not?
Isn't it amazing that Shanette said she's heard parents who say, oh, they, you know, they've used it for 6 years. It was,
yeah,
there's never been in an accident, so it was a waste of money. I cannot.
What are
I
you
can't.
Thinking, parents? Some people should
I mean,
be
that that is the argument that, yes, your investment was worth it.
Mm. Clearly, it's like they want an accident just to prove my child survived it.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. So this weekend, go out and do it, people.
Yeah. But, you know, continue to share your thoughts with us. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. You know, if you'd like to drop us a message, you can also look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you miss any part of the show today, you can download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can search for them on the BFM app. And you can also find us on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, it's our fourth episode of History on Repeat. And today, Shamila Ganesan will be speaking to Dr. Mulaika Hijaz, who's a lecturer in Southeast Asian Studies at the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. And they're going to be discussing the history of women in 19th century Malaya. So they're going to be talking about, you know, by focusing on women's voices, might we learn, you know, that men can't or won't tell us what we'll find out.
Yes.
Yeah, so we're good. That's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. For now, it's The Clash with I Fought the Law. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.